People who love righteousness also love judgment when it's just. People who love sin, they're going to risk it. We sing these songs and they've sung them, they've heard them. They know the teaching, they know what the Bible says, but they're going to risk it and see if they can have their cake and eat it too. Turn your Bible to 2 John. Second John has a short message, but a very important one. Let's ask God's blessing. Our Heavenly Father, we ask that You would make Your words plain to us. Father, we've heard these words before. We're going to hear them again. I pray that You would help the hearts to absorb them. Help us to apply them where they need to be applied. Help us to receive them into our own life and evaluate our own heart and our own life and not be thinking of others. Not be thinking who else needs to apply it, but help us, Lord, to apply it. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. A short message here. Let's start reading through it. I want you to look. I want you to notice that the Apostle John is going to lay forth a simple principle. The elder unto the elect lady, which I believe is writing to a church, or maybe to the church as a whole, and her children, whom I love in the truth, and not I only, but also all they that have known the truth. Notice it says, in the truth, they that have known the truth. Now, if you'll watch here closely, he's going to use a number of terms that refer to the same thing. They're synonymous. They're talking about the narrow road. They're talking about the faith once delivered to the saints. It's talking about the true gospel. And he's going to use these terms, and he's referring to what I'm going to term this morning a recipe. For the truth's sake, which dwelleth in us and shall be with us forever, grace be unto you, mercy and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth. Okay, what does that mean? Well, let's go on. As we have received a commandment from the Father. So this truth that they're walking in is something that God has commanded. And now I beseech thee, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which we had from the beginning, that we love one another. Okay, that must be synonymous with walking in truth, huh? Okay? And this is love, that we walk after His commandments. Okay, we've got truth, we've got love, and we've got walking after His commandments. So all talking about the same thing. This is the commandment, that as you have heard from the beginning, you should walk in it. So truth and love and His commandments are something to walk in. And we are to walk in it. For many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ. There's another synonymous term. Okay? Truth, love, walking after His commandments, and the doctrine of Christ. We're all talking about the same road. The same recipe. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. So, we see here that we have a recipe, and we also have a result. He says in verse 8, look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. I want to suggest to you this morning that the result is inevitably connected to the recipe. You cannot divorce the result from the recipe. You follow the recipe, you get a result. If you tweak the recipe, you tweak the result. You change the recipe, you change the result. If you're not getting the right result, you don't have the right recipe. They are inescapably connected to one another. Okay? So he says here, walking after his commandments, and this is love, that we walk after his commandments. Okay, we're talking about submission to and application of the scriptures. God's commandments teach us how to love. By walking in his commandments, we are then loving one another. We've talked about that previous. 1 John 5:2 says, by this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. Matthew 7:12, Jesus said, therefore all things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Okay? His commandments is his way of teaching us to discern what is love and what is not love. Matthew 22:37, Jesus said unto them, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. In other words, the law and the prophets were just simply trying to tell us this in a nutshell. Okay? If I love my brother, then I want to dress modest, appropriate, and be serious about life and holiness. If I love my brother, I will strive to be a proper example, putting God's kingdom and God's righteousness first, valuing the church order and the work as the Bible teaches, demonstrating God's ways by living them. I will want my family in order. I will want my marriage in order. I will want my finances in order. If I love my brother, I will not be self-centered and self-preserving. If I love my brother, I will not be quick to give offense or take offense. If I love my brother, I will be more concerned about doctrinal accuracy than my own opinion. If I love my brother, I will only want to follow and promote God's recipe. So he says here, and this is love, that we walk after his commandments. This is the commandment, as that as ye have heard from the beginning, ye should walk in it. There is a recipe. John is using many different terms. Those who receive his letter knows what he's talking about. We talk about, you need to walk in the light. We're not talking about that light right there. We're not talking about the sunshine. We know what we're talking about. We're talking about the recipe. You need to follow the recipe. We talk about, you need to stay on the narrow road. We're talking about the recipe. He says, I'm glad to hear your children are walking in truth. He's talking about the recipe. Okay? And so, there is a recipe. For many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. That was a violation of the recipe. That was a tweaking of the recipe, a changing of the recipe, and that changing of the recipe would inevitably change the result. That's why it says, look to yourselves, that you lose not those things which we have brought, but that you receive a full reward. If you allow the recipe in even a doctrinal evaluation of Jesus Christ and who he was and all that sort of thing, if you allow that to be tweaked, you're going to affect the result. You're not going to receive a full reward. You're not going to receive the product that God has designed with his recipe. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ, the proper understanding of Christ, the proper teaching of Christ, the proper representing of Jesus Christ, in other words, you are tweaking the recipe, hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. You trade recipes, you trade results. God's recipe is truth, love, walking after his commandments, the doctrine of Christ. Any alteration of this recipe, any alteration of the Bible's prescription, the Bible's narrow road, you will get a different result. Verse 10. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine. This is not talking about somebody coming to visit your house or knock on your door. And this is talking about a false teacher. If there come a false teacher, and he's bringing some other doctrine, okay? If they're coming to you and bring not this doctrine, he's bringing something else. He's bringing a different recipe. Receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed, for he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. So, what he's saying here is any other recipe equals evil deeds.
Amen.
That's what he's saying. He's not saying that You know, there's you know, many different variations of faith and doctrine, and as long as they all have a sincere heart and we're all heading the same. No, he didn't say that. Any other recipe equals evil deeds. Any other walk is evil deeds. No matter what the alteration. In Galatians 1:6, Paul says, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ. That's another term. That's another term. Truth, love, his walk, you know, narrow road, the grace of Christ, all talking about the recipe. Unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. So just a little tweaking of the gospel of Christ. A little alteration, a little change here for whatever reason. You know, maybe we think we know a little better. Maybe we think we're a little smarter. Maybe we think God's way just won't work. But Paul says, but though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. The apostles thought this was serious. John thought it was serious. He said, if somebody brings some other gospel, don't let him in your house. Don't bid him Godspeed. That's pretty serious. Here he says, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that which ye have received, let him be accursed. Why? Why, Paul? Why, John? Why is it so important? The reason is because they know this recipe was designed to produce a product. You start messing with the recipe, you're messing with the product. And God wants the product. God wants the product that He wants. You say, Brother Mark, this isn't real deep. No, you know, this is not real deep. But it's amazing how far-reaching the effects are. I wrote a short poem many, many years ago called Don't Change the Recipe. It goes like this. Once upon a dessert, some yellow cake I tasted. So moist, fluffy, and sweet, not one bite was wasted. Surely I decided more of this I'll make. And looking in a cookbook, I found that yellow cake. Yet there, to my horror, that tasty yellow fluff was said to come from salt and flour and such unpleasant stuff. Such things seem so foreign to cake with so much flavor. I was sure of a mistake and changed it to my favor. I kept the sugar in the bowl. Milk and vanilla could stay. But threw the baking powder and that old salt away. Did tolerate the tasteless flour, but slimy eggs, no way. Now I had fixed that recipe and improved it my own way. I dreamed of a yellow cake just like the one I'd had, but when the baking time was o'er, my cake was bad, bad, bad. Then upon vacation, I saw one who'd been sick, had been weak and slow, but now was strong and quick. I saw that health and vigor, I longed to have my own, so asking for the remedy, I gladly took it home. But when I began to read, it certainly did seem they had simply gone too far, gone to an extreme. Surely all that health and strength could come a better way. Must I eat that diet and exercise each day? Raw vegetables and fruit, but no more Captain Crunch? Leave my chips and pop, no donuts with my lunch? Surely there's a smarter way, that prescription I'll improve. Add a little yummy stuff so the veggies go down smooth. Once upon a visit, I saw a family rare, happy wife and children with many smiles to share. I thought that was a lucky man to have a home so fair. Said I'd like the recipe if he didn't care. He handed me the Bible, said I must obey. Jesus had to be the Lord, there was no easy way. Church every Sunday, submission, love, and prayer. Self must be crucified, the cross I had to bear. Worldly living, it must go. My sins I had to hate. Surrender all my will to God. All this he did relate. Self-denial and modesty. Submission to God and man. The giving up of my own will. Was this the only plan? Just then I heard a voice come soft and deep and low. Did you ever make the cake? Good health did you e'er know? When recipes are altered, products aren't the same. The recipe was not at fault. The baker is to blame. We don't like the flour, salt, or even butter. Baking soda's nasty, and raw eggs make us shudder. But oh, we love that flavor, the lovely yellow fluff, that only comes by mixing such unlovely stuff. The tasteless ingredients, some bitter and some sweet, all must be in order if true success we'd meet. Thinking we can alter, improve, and just delete will not give what we desire, but leave us in defeat.
Amen.
If you change the recipe, you change the product. And by the way, master bakers create recipes. All the rest of us dummies follow them. I would not want to create a curriculum for homeschooling. But I can certainly take one that has been created and I can follow it. Amen? We had a family one time that was counseling with us, and their parents, the wife's parents, were really upset because they didn't like the idea of homeschooling because they didn't feel like she had enough education to homeschool her children. And I was there and the parents were there, and they were actually speaking this out in front of us. And I turned to the father and I said, "You know, I am not enough of a craftsman to design a hammer. I don't know how to make the steel proper to where, you know, it's not going to shatter, it's not going to chip, it's not going to break. I can't design a hammer. It takes someone with more skill than I to design a hammer. But I can take the hammer and drive a nail." Okay? And though your daughter's not the one making the curriculum, people with more skill and education made the curriculum, but she can take the curriculum and she can teach your children. God has designed a recipe. God has designed a curriculum. The master designer, the one who created the trees and the grass and the heavens and the stars and all the little bitty insects and the huge elephants, the one who created the whale whose heart weighs as much as an elephant, the God who created all these things has designed a recipe. Woe to the man. Let him be accursed if he gets the idea that he's a little bit smarter than the apostles, a little bit smarter than the Word of God. He can tweak the recipe. Distasteful ingredients, the master knows, are necessary. There's a lot of things in the recipe that are not tasty. You know, in my life, I know that every tweak of the recipe is a sacrifice of the product. In my life, I've got to walk in the light. I've got to stay on the narrow road. I've got to do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with my God. I've got to present my body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is my reasonable service. I've got to not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of my mind. I've got to exercise myself to always have a conscience void of offense toward God and toward men. I've got to come out from among them and be separate and touch not the unclean thing. I've got to perfect holiness in the fear of God. These are all aspects of the recipe, but it's all the same direction, the same thrust. The Bible tells us different aspects of it. Basically, I've got to make sure I pray every day for wisdom and direction. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. I've got to read and study my Bible daily. I've got to obey the truth I know. I've got to witness for Christ and strive to live up to what I preach. I've got to build up the assembly of the saints. I've got to be in church doing my part. In other words, God's program, the church, God's program, that's a vital part of the recipe. I've got to work hard, earn a living by the sweat of my brow, and try to be a good testimony, an honest businessman. I've got to be a good steward of what God gives me. All of these things are part of the recipe. If I go out and blow my money on expensive food and I can't pay my bills, I'm not walking in the light. I'm not loving my brother. I'm messing with the recipe. If I go out and I'm lazy and I'm not willing to get out and work and make a living, I'm messing with the recipe. I've got to stand on the truth regardless of the results. I've got to command my household in the way of the Lord. Train up my children the way they should go. I've got to lead where I'm supposed to lead, and I've got to submit where I'm supposed to submit. I've got to speak when God says speak, and I've got to shut up when God says shut up. It's all part of the recipe. And you know what? Your adherence and valuing and cherishing and standing in awe and reverencing the recipe is directly connected to your belief about how this recipe is connected to the product. If you somehow believe that you can get just as good a product and still mess with the recipe, you're going to reap what you sow. God will see to it. And someday, like we taught in Sunday school lesson, this same vein of thought. When suddenly the product is not what you wanted it to be, not what you thought it would be, it's too late to go back and follow the right recipe.
Right.
We're talking about proper faith and practice. Proper interpretation and application of the Scriptures. Proper lifestyle and standards. Turn to 2 Peter. There are two aspects to having the right recipe. In one aspect, the recipe is a direction. It's an attitude. It's a goal. It's a submission to light. It's a value system. And it's not so much about having exactly the same applications, but it's about having exactly the same heart and thrust toward God. But there's another aspect. I can be an ignorant heathen. I can turn to God with all my heart. I can be hungering and thirsting after righteousness, purity, holiness. I can want accuracy of doctrine. I can be separated from the world. But I still don't have the complete recipe. And if I don't do what Peter says here, I'm still not going to get the right results. He says here, grace and peace be multiplied unto you, in verse 2, through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Okay? Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith. Now that initial faith is the thrust, the goal, the attitude, the heart towards God. And that's good. And that's a necessary foundation. But if I really want the right product, I've got to add to that faith virtue. I've got to add to that virtue knowledge. And to knowledge, temperance. And to temperance, patience. And to patience, godliness. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, charity. You see, it's not just about having the initial thrust. You've got to have your heart right. You've got to have your attitude right. But you also need all the ingredients.
Yes.
Just having a desire for a good product, having a desire to follow God, is not enough. If you don't study the Word of God, if you don't take steps to learn to observe all things whatsoever He commanded, to engraft them in your life, to add these things to your faith, you're still not going to get the right product. It says here, for if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So in other words, you could have faith, you could start out, but if you don't add this in there, you might be barren and unfruitful. Change the recipe, change the pursuit, change the ingredients, you will change the product. You will change how the youth turn out. And then you change the entire church in one generation. You change the church's testimony and the message to the world. You change the messages over the pulpit. Because as you tweak the recipe, you change the people, the results. The children grow up different. The attitudes of the ladies and the men are different. The messages are different. The standards are different. The modesty becomes different. The sobriety, the gravity, all of that becomes different. Turn to 1 Corinthians 3. Talking about this same issue. Chapter 3, verse 5. Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted, Apollos water, but God gave the increase. So then neither he that planteth is anything, Neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now, he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God, we ministers. Ye, people, are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. According to the grace which God has given unto me, Paul the Apostle, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. Paul's talking about the same subject we're talking about. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Paul has laid this foundation. Paul laid that foundation in the church at Corinth. Okay, he started the church. He laid the foundation of Jesus Christ, the doctrine of Christ. He says here, now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble. Now, if they carefully followed the recipe, what do you think they would produce? Gold, silver, precious stone, or wood, hay, and stubble? God wants gold, silver, precious stones. God didn't design a recipe to produce wood, hay, and stubble. That is a result of man's tweaking of the recipe. That is a result of some pastor or some father or some mother or some youth thinking that they know a little better and they're a little smarter than God, and so they're going to improve the recipe. Well, it says here, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, what's going to abide through the fire? The wood, hay, and stubble, or the gold, silver, precious stone? Which he hath built thereon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so is by fire. Now, a minister who is a little bit lax, a minister who's more concerned about being sweet and kind than about righteousness and truth and accuracy, okay, is, though he may think he's doing good, he may be sincere, but by tweaking the recipe just a little bit, by not adhering to the Scriptures tenaciously, that man could produce a lot of people in his congregation that are simply not born again. There could be a lot of people in his congregation who become a little bit presumptuous, because after all, his presumption bleeds over. His laxity is going to spread. His lack of caution, his lack of carefulness, his lack of fear of God is going to spread, and there are going to be people who there may be some gold, silver, precious stone there, but there's going to be a lot of wood, hay, and stubble because there's going to be some laxity. You know, it's one thing to preach the truth. It's another thing to enforce it. And there's a lot of churches. I was raised in churches that preached a lot of good things but enforced nothing. So, yeah, you may have some gold, silver, precious stone because people in there have their own faith, their own mind, their own seeking of God, but you're going to produce a lot of wood, hay, and stubble. You cannot alter the recipe without altering the product. One will stand the test of judgment, and one will not. Now, we're not talking about circumstances beyond your control as far as the product and you know, you follow the recipe, you're going to get this product. We're not talking about things like persecution, so forth, that you can't do anything about. We're talking about what your life has produced. Okay? The children that your home has produced. The marriage that your choices have produced. Your financial stability. Your testimony. Your ministry. Where you are spiritually is a direct result of whether you are following the recipe. I have found it very common that people who change the recipe and mess around and then end up with bad results, they want to play victim. But you know, a true believer is never spiritually a victim. Turn to Romans 8. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Do you know why there's no condemnation? Because we're not worthy of being condemned when we are doing that. We are eligible for grace. For the law of the Spirit of Christ, of life in Christ Jesus had made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak to the flesh, God, sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. The righteousness of the law being fulfilled in me is the product that God's recipe will produce. That's the product, okay? And it says here that, now how can I, if I am following that recipe, if this product is being produced in me, how can I be spiritually a victim? Oh, I was lied to. This happened or that happened, or if I'd have just had better teaching. No. No. If you get in the Word of God and you're seeking God and striving to walk in the Spirit, the righteousness of the law is going to be fulfilled in you, and you're not going to be victimized spiritually.
Amen.
For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. You got a recipe and a product. Okay? It says here, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. The carnal mind is not going to follow the recipe. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ dwell in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. You have a recipe for victory. Okay? Therefore, brethren, we are debtors. And that word could say, we are debtors. Not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. We are not obligated to live after the flesh. We don't have to be victims of the flesh. We have no obligation. We are not debtors to the flesh. Okay? We know that if we live after the flesh, we shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. Recipe and result. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, there's a recipe, they are the sons of God. Okay? This recipe spoken of in many different ways. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, that means we follow the recipe, then heirs, there's the result. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, there's the recipe, that we may be glorified together, there's the result. Okay? You get the right recipe, you're always going to get the right result. Always. You're not going to be a victim. You're not going to be victimized. You're going to have the right result. And it says here, you go on down, verse 28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. Those who are following the recipe, they're not going to be victimized. Those who are following the recipe, they are going to get the result that God wants them to get, because God will see to it. He knows His recipe is going to work. And He knows that if they're following the recipe, all things are going to work together for their good. Okay? For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate or predetermine to be conformed to the image of His Son. God predestinated that everyone who follows the recipe, everyone who adheres to the recipe is going to be conformed to the image of His Son. It's impossible for you to be victimized spiritually. It says here, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. God's got a recipe here. Whom He called, them He also justified. Whom He justified, them He also glorified. What should we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can victimize us? Who can be against us? He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? These are all things beyond our control. circumstances beyond our control. But they cannot victimize us spiritually.
That's right.
If I am not the product that God wants me, that God wanted to make, I can't point my finger at anybody but me.
That's right.
Okay? Amen. It says here, as it is written, for thy sake, we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. That sounds like a victim. But he says, nay, we're not victims. In all these things that are beyond our control, in all these circumstances that we can't control, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us.
Amen. Glory.
Because nobody can keep me from following God's recipe. Okay? Tribulation, that's what it's saying here. Who shall separate us? Nobody can keep me from following God's recipe. As it is written, it says here, verse 38, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature. All these things are beyond our control. Can they keep me from following the recipe? No. Shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. They cannot separate me from God's plan of conforming me to the image of His Son. They cannot separate me from loving God and being called according to His purpose. They cannot separate me from all things working together for my good because I'm following the recipe. They cannot stop that.
That's
right. So if I'm not following the recipe, if I'm messing with the recipe and getting the wrong results, if something goes wrong and the result is not what it ought to be, I can't point my finger. I can't claim I'm a victim. I can't claim that it was beyond my control. All I can know is I didn't follow the recipe. I've heard people say, well, the Bible says train up a child in the way he should go when he's old and not depart from it. And we kept our children in church, but then look what happened. I kept keeping your children in church. Is that the extent of the recipe?
No.
Is that the whole recipe? No. The problem is, you didn't follow the recipe.
That's right.
And that's why you got the product you got. My testimony is up to me. My life message is up to me. My influence is up to me. My victory is up to me. The recipe I follow and promote is up to me. And nobody can change that. Nobody can take it away from me. If I don't add to my faith virtue and to virtue knowledge and knowledge temperance and patience and brotherly love and charity, it's my fault. Let's have a little review quickly. The product is inescapably connected to the recipe you chose to follow. The product, I said, is unalterably connected to the recipe you follow. Any alteration of God's recipe is an alteration of the product. God's recipe is the only one that will deliver the promised product. God's recipe is a matter of heart and direction and ingredients. All the ingredients. If we don't like the product we are getting, we must stop following our recipe. That's easy to understand, isn't it? Expecting to get different results from the same recipe is insanity.
Right.
Defending your recipe while admitting the product is bad is stubborn rebellion.
Yes.
Blaming God's recipe while following your own is self-deception. One last point I want to make. We've made this before. I preached this recipe to men who sat here and listened but continued to dabble in sin. I didn't know they were in sin. I didn't know they were messing around with things they shouldn't mess around with. I didn't know they were sneaking around. I didn't know what their attitude was. They tweaked the recipe to keep in good with the relatives and neighbors. They tweaked the recipe so they could still be a good old boy in society. Tweaked the recipe for the dollar bill, please the wife, still have some leeks and garlic from Egypt, gratify the flesh, instead of crucify the flesh. And I've learned something. That God says if you reject His recipe and follow your own, He will make you eat your recipe. I've seen people who tweaked the recipe because they wanted to keep their music. They had an image. You know, I want to follow Jesus, but I want to keep my cowboy image. I want to keep my tough man image. I want to keep my movies. I want to keep my recreation. I want to keep my anti-government ideas. I want to hang on to pacifism or some other ism. I want to support something that is not in the recipe. I've preached this recipe while wives sat here and determined how they wanted to alter it. To tweak the recipe so I can promote my own ideas and opinions rather than submit and follow. Tweak the recipe so I can promote myself. Tweak the recipe so I can have more friends and be popular. Tweak the recipe so I can feel more secure and comfortable. And I've watched God make them eat their own recipe. We gotta keep the fashion, the makeup, the jewelry, the hairdo. I preached this recipe while teenagers sat and decided they had a better way. A way where they could have more fun, more friends, more admiration, more acceptance. So they could promote their own ideas and preferences. So they could be moody and self-centered rather than have a servant spirit. So they could be popular with the boys and the girls. Sneak around and flirt when they know that they've been taught better. I've seen a lot of people who presumptuously messed with the recipe. And I have watched time and time again as they've been made to eat the product of their own making. It is not a pretty sight. In Proverbs chapter 1, verse 20, I've read this to you a number of times. This is God's attitude about people who think they have a better recipe than He has. Young men, young boys, you think you can go about your duties at home, disrespect your mother, be half-hearted, careless, irresponsible, sneak around, do things that mom and dad don't know about, sneak around, be dishonest, get the wrong recipe.
That's right.
You're gonna eat it, just like God says right here. Wisdom cries without. She uttereth her voice in the streets, verse 20, Proverbs chapter 1. She crieth in the chief place of concourse, in the openings of the gates. In the city she uttereth her voice, saying, how long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my recipe unto you, my words. Because I called, and ye refused. I have stretched out my hand, and no man regarded. But ye have said it not all my counsel, and with none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge, and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel, they despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way, and be filled with their own devices. Heaven and earth will come to pass, but these words will not pass away.
That's right.
You can just as easy rearrange the stars in the heavens than to keep this from happening.
That's right.
I promise you this morning, as a loving friend and as a warning, you bow before the recipe, you submit your opinions to the recipe, you follow the recipe, you study the recipe, you adhere to the recipe, you make sure you got all the ingredients in the recipe, or God will see to it that you're going to eat your own recipe. Whatever you devise, however you changed it, the product is not going to be the same. It is impossible to change the recipe and get the same product.
That's right.
But whatever product your recipe has, you're going to eat it. You say, Brother Mark, that just doesn't sound like love. Actually, that's what John called it.
That's right. Amen.
Let's turn back to 2 John. This is love, that we follow His recipe. Isn't that what He said? That we walk after His commandments. And anyone who alters this recipe is a deceiver and an antichrist. Anyone who alters the recipe and transgresseth and abideth not in the recipe hath not God, doesn't have God's favor.
Right.
And if anyone comes to you and starts promoting a different recipe, don't receive them into your house or bid them Godspeed, because what they are promoting is evil deeds.
Amen.
That's what John said. God does not take it lightly when people think they can alter the recipe. You know, we said this morning in Sunday school, I think Nathan made the point, deception is not necessarily being deceived, that thinking I'm doing God's will when I'm not. It's when I'm not doing God's will, but thinking I can get by with it.
Yeah.
Okay? It's when I'm messing with the recipe, but thinking I'm going to get the same product. That's deception. But you know you're messing with the recipe.
Yes.
You just don't believe that God's going to make you eat it. You think that somehow you're going to get a different product. You think you can sneak around and sin and 1 John 1:9 it and just, you know, you don't have to crucify your flesh. You don't have to mortify the deeds of the body. You don't have to do what is right. You don't have to submit. You don't have to control that thing. You know, you think you can just do whatever comes natural to you, and you're not going to have to eat it. That's the great deception.
That's right.
Strengthening the hands of the wicked by promising them life. Telling them, you're going to get the same product as the righteous. That makes the heart of the righteous sad. Like, well, why am I following the recipe? Why am I being so careful? Why am I sacrificing? Why am I doing without? Why am I being persecuted? If I could do that and get the same product, God says you've made the heart of the righteous sad, but you've strengthened the hands of evildoers. Why? By promising them the same product. Ain't going to happen. A word of encouragement to the righteous, to those who fear God, who carefully follow the recipe. It's necessary. That is the only way you're going to get the right product.
Amen.
These other people who care, who, you know, footloose and fancy free and careless with the recipe, they're going to get something different. And it's not going to taste good. But they're going to eat it.
Right.
God is a just God. The more we believe in that inescapable, definite justice, the product is going to be different and I will eat it. The more you believe that, the better chance of you enduring to the end and being faithful. The better chance of you being conformed to the image of His Son and being a product of God's recipe. What a wonderful product He promised. Glory. Justification, sanctification, glorification. That's what God's working towards. Who would ever want to mess with the recipe? Except those who thought they could still get the same product. That's the catcher right there. Let's stand together. Why did the guy want to change the recipe of the yellow cake? Seemed obvious to him that some of this stuff shouldn't be in there. Seemed obvious to him, who never made a cake before, that some of this stuff was really good by itself. Some of it was very bad by itself. And so surely putting it all together wouldn't make it. I mean, the guy didn't know what he's talking about, right? Why did the guy that never did obtain that health, you know, he wanted to change the recipe? Why? Because he wanted his present gratification more than he wanted the product.
Right.
So he tweaked the recipe. That's why people tweak recipes. I want my present gratification more than I want the product. So I tweak the recipe. God help us. I've seen in my 33 years of serving the Lord, I have seen numerous occasions of people presumptuously messing with the recipe, thinking they're going to get the same product, telling me they're going to get the same product, and getting a different product. It's something that I would hate to see anyone here experience. Any thoughts from the brethren before we pray?
Well, I was thinking along the line that you've seen numerous examples of people who did their own thing and what came of it. And that grieves you then when you see it, you know, happening again. Like, why don't you just listen to me, what I'm telling you? But think about God witnessing billions of such situations throughout the, you know, thousands of years. And you know what? If anybody found a better recipe and that God saw it work, surely he would have told us about it.
Oh, yes. And you know, I must say, I've been trying to perfect my understanding of God's recipe. And looking around, if I saw a better product, I would certainly analyze their recipe and try to see if there's something they were putting in the recipe that I had missed. Today, I don't see any recipe I'd want to trade for than what the one I understand now. I wouldn't want to trade my product or the product of the what we have here at Living Faith Christian Fellowship for anybody else's product. I wouldn't want to trade the quality of young people we have for what I see elsewhere.
You know, it's really sad. As I see, as people mix the ingredients for their own cake that God's going to make them eat, very oftentimes others are forced to eat the leftovers.
I know.
And although they can break out of that and mix God's own recipe, it makes it more difficult.
That's true. That's true. And all they can, you know, all of us have been forced to eat some leftovers, even from Adam and Eve. I mean, let's face it. We're affected by other people's messing with the recipe. But ultimately, me following God's recipe can overcome all of that.
That's right. And like you said, we individually, nothing can stop an individual from following God's
recipe. Right. Adam's sin cannot victimize me.
Exactly.
Ultimately. Now maybe I'm suffering the effects of it now, but ultimately, if I follow God's recipe, it will deliver me from all of that.
Right.
So.
Right. Well, most of us have. I mean, we can suffer effects of things that either our parents did or we did before we were born again. I mean, well, it could all be for our good in following the recipe. If we're a Christian, it still all be working for our good and just be part of the crucible, weeding out the dross, whether it's because our father dropped the ball or we dropped the ball. I mean, it doesn't have to be something that's harmful.
Following God's recipe incorporates all that.
Right.
That we overcome evil with good. We rise above. We learn to hate sin. And when you're following God's recipe, then God will work all those things for good. God will turn and He will incorporate those things in a way that will be for our good. Let's pray.